This is Childhood Matters, presented by Interactive Parenting Media.
Childhood Matters.
For parents and everyone else who cares for or about kids.
We are family. Give everybody a sing.
Here's your host, Rona Renner.
Good morning and welcome to Childhood Matters. Today we'll bring you another episode of the Your Teen Matters series. Joining me today is co-host of this series, Beth Samuelson, founder and director of Student Organizational Services.
Good morning, Rona. It's good to be back in the studio this morning with the series, which we've created to support parents and teachers of the teenagers, of our teenagers, as they try and guide teenagers in the challenging world we have to deal with today. And in fact, today we're going to be talking about alternatives to four-year colleges for teens.
You know, Beth, no matter how old a child is, parents will want to stay tuned today. You know, parents help children make decisions at all phases of their life, and understanding a child's temperament, their strengths, and also their needs will really help every step of the way, whether it's picking a good preschool or picking a junior college or college.
You know, one of the real pressures for high school students, especially juniors and seniors, is to figure out what the next steps are after high school. And parents need to ask themselves, is my teen ready for college? It's not a given. Should he even go to a traditional four-year academic university? And if not, what are the alternatives and how do I find them? And can we afford them? At SOS, we work with many families where students are not cookie-cutter fits for traditional schools, and we all need to talk more openly about options.
You know, I met a lot of teens over the years who have chosen not to attend college right after school. Some really needed to be doing hands-on learning. And I've also met teens who wanted to go to college but just really couldn't figure out how to get there or how to get the support they needed. So there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, there really is, and we'd love to hear from you this morning. Give us a call at 877-372-KIDS. That's 877-372-5437. With your experience as a parent, a student, or an instructor. And we are lucky this morning to have in the studio with us Eileen Abrams. Eileen became the college advisor at Berkeley High in September of 2003. And she expanded the already existing college counseling program there to encourage a college-going culture for all students starting in ninth grade and to increase the number of students applying to and being accepted to college. After 6 years working at Berkeley High with a wide variety of students from all backgrounds, Eileen is now the college advisor in Envision Academy of Arts and Technology, a public charter school in downtown Oakland. Although over 65% of the students qualify for the free and reduced lunch program, 85% of the first graduating class in 2010 were admitted to four-year colleges. Eileen Abrams, welcome to Your Teen Matters and Childhood Matters this morning.
Thank you.
Hi, Eileen. Good to see you, too. Also joining us in the studio is Wes Riggins. Wes and his wife, Terry, are the parents of two teenage boys, ages 16 and 18. His 18-year-old son, Ryan, who was a guest at our show talking about living with ADHD, he's now doing a gap year after graduating from high school. Wes is at the end of a year-long self-awarded sabbatical. Good for you, Wes. And before that, he was the vice president of business development for multiple successful internet software companies. He really enjoys giving back to the community and the opportunity to mentor youth through activities such as soccer, scouts, and being in the outdoors. Wes Riggins, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's great to meet you.
Eileen, I thought we'd start off with you and ask you to talk about how parents can figure out if their teen is ready or not for college, and what do they do if clearly that's not the path to take right away?
That's a really important question. So sometimes kids, when they're in their junior and senior year, they're like, I'm ready to be out of here. And they're making lots of plans and doing a lot of research about all the different options open to them. And on the other hand, you have students who all of a sudden they've been a great student and they're not doing their homework. Their grades are slipping. They're finding excuses not to do well. When everybody's talking about what they're doing after they graduate, they don't even want to hear that discussion. And that when that kind of thing happens, it's really important for parents to have a real heart-to-heart discussion with their student about what they're thinking, because graduation's coming one way or another. And to talk about any interest that they might have, they might be saying, I really don't want to go to college. And that's fine. There are many, many paths to get to further education after high school, and taking a year off is certainly one of them. I think going to some kind of consultant or talking about different kinds of careers that might be off the beaten path, talk to friends, how did they get to where they were today, is a really important thing to do. But there's gap years, there's two-year community colleges, lots of different ways, and students shouldn't feel pressured that there's only one way to go.
That seems like the key, is not feeling pressured. Yes. And yet, let's face it, parents seem to be very pressured, right?
More so than sometimes the students
Absolutely.
Are.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Wes, you're here with us, and maybe you could tell us how you and your wife recognized that your son, Ryan, his path would be non-traditional, and maybe you could say something about what was challenging about coming up with a plan for him.
Well, I think the first sign was he really wasn't infected with the joy of learning, so to speak, because he'd been, you know, he'd worked really hard in school, hadn't gotten the grades that he saw his friends around him getting that were, that frankly, were working less hard than he was. Mm-hmm. And so he said, you know, man, this is, I just can barely stand the idea of four more years in a library someplace, you know, knocking my head against the wall. Yeah. He's very, very bright, but he just didn't take tests very well. Mm-hmm. So
I could relate to that.
Yeah, yeah, and I related to that in my days after I got out of my undergrad and thinking about, oh man, two more years in law school. I just can't deal with that thought right now. Mm-hmm. So I went to the working world. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, I was not really a proponent of the whole gap year idea when it first came up. I was like, I don't know about this. But the more we talked about it and the more we looked at it, could be a very enriching, positive thing towards a goal. Then I pretty much got on board.
Beth, you can you tell people? I think it's important people to know what we mean by gap year, because that's a term that we're using, but I don't know if everyone knows what that means.
No, that's a good point. It's a gap year. Literally means time off between. It's often referred to as time off between high school and college, and it's something that has been very common in the United Kingdom and in Australia for years, and it's just the last 5 years or so become acceptable here, especially among families that formerly it was all about four-year colleges. They didn't know there were alternatives. I mean, I want to throw out here that Prince Harry and William, in fact, did gap years before they went to college. I mean, that's a really common thing. And suddenly, Americans went, oh, this is an option. Okay, we can do, you know, what is it? And is my kid still going to go to college was a big concern here. And invariably, they do. And so...
Yeah, well, Wes, that's good. I think we have a call on this subject.
We do. We've got Lexi on the line from Pleasanton, and Lexi is going to talk about her gap year time herself. Lexi, good morning.
Hi.
You did a gap program yourself. Can you tell us how you made the decision to do that and what you did?
Well, my original idea was actually not – I did Brown Ledge gap year. And my original idea was actually not to go to Brown Ledge. My mother found a program called the Center for Interim Programs, which is run by Holly Bowl, and they find gap years. You give them, like, what you're interested in, what you like, and they'll take that information and find huge amounts of gap year programs. There's tons of them. And they'll just send you information, and you look through all of this stuff, and you have to make a decision. And I originally was going to do cross-cultural solutions, which sends people out to different countries to do, you know, volunteer work. And I was originally going to go to Cape Town, South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized that I've never been out of the continent, and that's kind of far away.
It was a big deal, yeah.
For my first time out of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided instead to do Brown Ledge, which I didn't find through interim. I went to a gap year fair in, I think it was San Francisco, and Timothy Shooker Haynes, who is the director, was there, and I talked to him, and he was like, oh, you should do this, you're a photographer, you need to do this, and so I just decided to do that instead.
How did you decide, I was going to just jump in and ask how you decided not to go to four-year college and to do this instead. What was the upshot of that? How did you come to that conclusion?
I had absolutely no idea what I wanted to do after high school. I still have no idea. So I just decided to do this instead to see if it was anything that I found like an interest that I wanted to do.
And Lex, you're now, can you tell the listeners where you are now?
I'm going to Las Positas Community College because I need more than the credits I got in high school in order to transfer to a regular four-year school, so I have to go there first.
And how long did you do your photography venture?
It was a little longer than 4 months.
Mm-hmm. So hers, it wasn't even a year, basically, and you did four. What would you say, overall, positive experience?
Oh, definitely. It was the best experience of my life.
Wow. You know, Eileen, I was thinking about what we were talking about earlier, too, about community colleges, and it sounds like, you know, there are so many ways to piece together, right? You know, like what's going to work well for someone.
Absolutely. I mean, community college is a great option for some students. One of the things I love about it is you can take, you know, one or as many classes as you'd like, so you can sort of fit together work and college, or you can try out different things. It's very inexpensive, $600 a year here in California, which is quite affordable. And the other nice thing about community college is at some large four-year colleges, you're going to be sitting in a lecture hall with 300-400 students, whereas when you're at community college, it's a much smaller environment, and that's very helpful to some students.
I like the way Lexi pieced that together.
Yes.
Good work, Lexi.
Yeah, and doing it sort of by interviewing different people and finding out different options and realizing that you weren't ready to go out of the country either, I think was an important part of that, and that you wanted to stay in the U.S. But you traveled in your program, if I'm correct, right?
Yes, I did a road trip. We lived in Vermont for almost 2 months, learning how to. We learned how to make documentaries using radio and video, like. Not like video stuff, and then still cameras, the photography, and everybody learned all three of those, and then we road tripped from Vermont to Salt Lake City and lived there for about a month, a little bit longer than a month, and then we road tripped from there to New Orleans and lived there for a little bit longer than a month.
Awesome program.
Awesome.
I want to encourage other people to call in this morning real quick. We want to hear from you. If you've got stories like Lexi does or about yourself or your kids, 1-877-372-KIDS. That's 1-877-372-5437. I just wanted to throw in here, well, Lexi's on the line. It's really interesting. Harvard University, I see here, has actually, which has the highest graduation rate in the country, the admissions committee actually encourages admitted students to defer enrollment for a year to travel, to do gap program, to participate in a project or work or volunteer, which I think is fascinating.
Bye, Lexi. Thank you so
much.
Lexi,
thank you so much.
Thanks for calling this morning.
And we have another person on the line here. We have Salome from Oakland, and her son actually did not choose to go to college. Salome, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. Can you?
I promote the program. From what I understand, it reaches experience and education. I'm very adamant about that, about other people putting their kids, youth, after high school. They should venture out and learn higher education. It sounds like a good program, and community colleges sound good, too. Let me see. I don't have too much to say, but I know one thing that the youth, they need to go to school. They really do. And if they don't have the money for it, there's plenty. I understand now that there's plenty of programs out there. They just have to search for them.
That's the hard part. You know, Salome, that's the hard part for some families is searching for them and getting the support. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know, you know, when my kids went to Berkeley High, Eileen was there. And, you know, I don't know, how many kids were you helping at once?
Yeah, we had 800 seniors and two college advisors.
You know, and I think parents don't get the support at all. Did you feel like you got any help, Salome, figuring out what your son should do?
Yes. If any way they could figure out a way to put a collage, like put all the information together and have like a number where they can call, that would help out. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't even know about it myself. Had I known about it, I would have done a lot more for my son, because I always promoted him to go to school and get a higher education.
And I think that's a good point. With the resources of public schools really strapped now with budget and so many, many students and just a couple of counselors, it is really difficult. Mm-hmm. Parents have to do a lot of this legwork themselves now more than ever. And the average 18-year-old doesn't know where to start on this process.
Right. And I think, you know, Wes, I'm thinking about you. You know, you probably had access to finding out about information in a different way, perhaps. I don't know. But even parents who are, you know, having, even if the kids are at a charter school, at a private school, it's still, you're at a loss, aren't you?
Yeah, we really, you know, didn't, when we decided this was really going to be a viable alternative, it was like, okay, well, what's next? And so when that happened, actually, we used the same program, the Center for Intern Programs, because then literally thousands of opportunities became available to us. And then you begin a winnowing process of, okay, what fits with the interest and what's, you know, what really makes sense for whatever the goals for your student, your child happened to be. And then it was just, frankly, a lot of talking and research and, you know, digging into the internet and making phone calls and going to some of the fairs they talked about. And, you know, luckily I had the time at that point to be able to do that, which was great. And that's really how we got through the process of deciding what educational experience he wanted to have other than a traditional academic one for this first year.
I think a lot of students, too, when they start, if they go to college too quickly, these large colleges that don't have a lot of structure and support, and the kids are suddenly thrown out, they're independent. Kids that had learning disabilities or learning issues in high school suddenly find themselves adrift. So it's really a tough shift. And I think that's, you know, part of the problem.
Yeah, and Salome, I just want to say to you before we say goodbye that, you know, if you have a son, you know, whether he's gone to college or not, there are times in young adults' lives when they suddenly realize they have something they really want to learn or they have a passion, whether it's college or trade. And I think some people just take a little longer also to figure that out. Mm-hmm. So it's never too late. And if you need support on that at any time, please do contact us also. Thank you for calling us this morning, Salome.
Thank you.
You take good care.
You too.
Thank you. We've got another caller on the line, and we've got Alonzo from Vacaville. And Alonzo's nephew was rushed to college, he says, and dropped out after a semester. And so, Alonzo, are you there?
Yes. Hello.
Good morning. Hi. Thanks for joining us. Tell us a little bit about your situation.
Well, it was with my nephew. He graduated in 2003. And me and my sister, we just had a, you know, just the traditional college. We had it in our head that he was going to be the first in our family to go to a traditional college. And we really pushed him to go in, and we weren't really listening to what he was trying to tell us.
Mm-hmm.
And after a semester, he dropped out, and, you know, now he's 25, and every time we bring up the idea of maybe community college getting back into his stuff, he doesn't even want to hear it. He gets up and walks out of the room, you know. So, and I see now, in, you know, hindsight, that, you know, he just wasn't ready for that. And I agree with the other callers where, you know, they say that traditional or continuation learning is a must, higher education is a must, but sometimes we have to listen to our kids and let them choose or help them choose the right way that's best for them.
Boy.
Sometimes a traditional college is not the right thing for everybody. And, you know, I have a 12-year-old son, so of course I'm concerned. You know, I want him to go to college, but, you know, now I'm listening to him and taking the time. Because with my nephew, me and my sister, we didn't take any course in his education or any action in his education until he was in 12th grade. And then all of a sudden we jumped up, okay, what college are we going to? You know, let's keep going. And, you know, he kept saying, well, I don't know if it's something I really want to do. And we said, you'll be fine once you get into college.
Alonzo, can we come back to you? We need to take a break, and please hang on. We'll be right with you. Today we're talking about helping teens on the alternative course to a four-year college path. We'll be right back, and we'll take your call.
Thank you. pick up the phone and get involved.
Call now at 1-877-372-KIDS.
You're listening to Childhood Matters.
More with Rona Renner after this.
Here's this week's Childhood Matters community calendar with events for parents and kids. Experience a spooky good time at the Children's Haunted Harvest Festival in Mill Valley today, October 24, from noon to 4. For more information, call 415-389-7733. That's 415-389-7733. Celebrate Dia de los Muertos at the San Jose Museum of Art. The community is invited to this free celebration, Saturday, October 30, from 11 to 5. For more information, call 408-271-2787. That's 415-271-2787. Check out free family dance classes at the Oakland Public Library. Refreshments will be served Saturday, October 30, from 9 to 10 at the West Oakland Branch, 1 to 2 at Cesar Chavez Branch, and 3 to 4 at the Eastmont Branch. For more information, call 510-644-3629. That's 510-644-3629. Bring the whole family to a fall harvest festival sponsored by City Slicker Farms and People's Grocery in West Oakland, Saturday, October 30, from noon to 4. For more information, call 510-763-4241. That's 510-763-4241. Visit the first 5 Alameda County Ready to Learn Fun Fair at the Santa Rosa Parks Elementary School in Berkeley, Saturday, November 6th from 10 to 1. For more information, call 510-272-6768. That's 510-272-6768. Don't forget to buy your tickets and mark your calendar for Childhood Matters El Rio Birthday Celebration, Sunday, November 7th from 1:30 to 5. For more information, call 510-663-5437. That's 510-663-5437. For additional information, visit our website, childhoodmatters.org. And to submit events, email info@childhoodmatters.org. I'm Zan West.
Developmental delays affect 1 in 6 children. Although every child develops at a different rate and in different ways, parents and caregivers who spot special needs symptoms in their children can follow these tips when seeking assistance. Get help early. If you think there may be a problem, even if you're not sure, seek help. Visit a doctor or healthcare professional for more resources available to you and your child. Express your concerns clearly by giving concrete information to your doctor about your child's development. If your doctor decides not to do a screening, ask why. Your child's healthy development is important to you. If the screening shows risk of a developmental delay, follow-up is crucial. Ask your doctor about next steps and further assessments for your child. For more information on programs for young children, contact your local Bay Area First 5 County Commission by visiting first5kids.org/bay. Brought to you by your local First 5.
This man, father.
Color him, father.
I think I'll color him love.
Color him love.
Said I'm gonna color him father.
Color him father.
We continue with Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by your local First 5.
Join in the conversation at 1-877-372-KIDS.
Here's more with Nurse Rona on Childhood Matters.
Nurse Rona, and I'm the host of Childhood Matters.
And I'm Beth Samuelson, and I'm the co-host today of our series, Your Teen Matters, and the Director of Student Organizational Services. We have with us this morning Eileen Abrams, a college counselor for many years, Berkeley High School, and now at Envision Academy in Oakland, and Wes Riggins, parent of an 18-year-old boy who's now doing a gap year after graduating from high school. We're talking about alternatives for students after high school and what you can do instead of the typical 4-year college track, some of our teens benefiting from a completely different post-high school approach. We have on the line with us Alonzo. Alonzo, you're probably thinking about your 12-year-old now and what to do, and I wanted to turn this over to Eileen to talk to you about some thoughts, our college counselor here.
Hi, Alonzo. I think it's really wonderful that you've learned this lesson from your nephew, and that it's one thing that's a great idea to do is to start showing 12-year-olds and up different kinds of options that are available to them after they graduate from high school. So they're thinking about 4-year colleges, they're understanding a wide variety of 4-year colleges, but they're also looking at 2-year colleges, they're looking at trade schools, they're looking at all kinds of gap year programs, because all of that can help students be sort of cogitating on it, thinking about it as they get older.
And, you know, Alonzo, what you said I thought was so key. It's Roni here. Hi, Alonzo. There was a sense that people didn't listen to him, to your nephew, and that was part of the struggle of him not making it and dropping out. And I think, Wes, also as a parent, you can probably relate to this quandary about listening to our kids.
Yeah, that's like what I mentioned earlier, that I really wasn't on board. I should say I really wasn't too enthusiastic, because I came from a place of really not knowing what a gap year was all about, like most people out there listening. And once I got myself a little educated and saw what the benefits were, I have totally changed my mind. And I'll go back to one short experience. One of the things that Ryan has done is he's gone to South America for the last 2 months and taken an intensive live-in Spanish course down there. And it is incredibly inexpensive to do that. He's essentially, because he's a beginning Spanish student, he's had one-on-one individual education for the last 2 months, even though we paid for a classroom environment. There was just nobody else in the class. Wow. And so now, just before he went off another leg of his trip, we talked to him, and he says, boy, I'm really having fun learning Spanish. I can't wait to come back home, and I'm going to definitely take this in college because it's fun. And he saw the application of it.
And this was not a kid, if I remember, Ryan Crowley, you know, was not who loved textbook foreign language classes in high school at all. He likes the hands-on immersion part. And I think, Alonzo, just to kind of return to the thing with your nephew and even thinking about your son going forward, is to look at how this student did in school. What were they interested in? What do they like doing? And to help guide them along those lines. And I think we have to be careful not to drive our own agenda mm-hmm. as parents all the time, but to listen. And I think you've really alluded to that. Thank you, Alonzo, for calling this morning.
Thank you so much, Alonzo.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
You're listening to Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by your local First Five.
Pick up the phone and get involved. Call Childhood Matters now at 1-877-372-KIDS. That's 1-877-372-KIDS.
And we're back here at Your Teen Matters, a series for Childhood Matters, and we've got online with us Robbie from Oakland talking about options after high school. Robbie, good morning.
Good morning. How's everybody doing?
Hey, Robbie.
Good. Thank you. Tell us what you'd like us to hear about your own experience.
Well, my daughter's only 2 right now. My son is only 6. But what I wanted to speak on was how I strongly feel that early introduction could be really, really beneficial and, you know, carry a lot of force when it comes to a child or a boy or a young man or a young woman trying to figure out if they want to, you know, go to college or not. And I've heard the age of, you know, 12 or 13, you can take your, you know, kids, you know, and show them around the campus. But even earlier than that, like my son, for instance, sometimes when we go to Berkeley, we may stop at Blondie's, get some pizza, and then just go sit on the steps at Cal. And, I take advantage of that opportunity, mm-hmm. and I just point so many things out to them. Like, you see, everybody's walking back and forth to class. You see that person over there, they're studying, they're doing their homework, they're really concentrating.
You see, Robbie,
focused. And periodically, in so many different mm-hmm. ways, yeah, I can implement something pertaining to college just to make it, you know, more easier maybe in several different ways when that time finally comes, as opposed to waiting until a month before graduation and say, okay, here's college, you know, and it really being something new. And
you know, Robbie, you are so right on with this. Yeah. And what came to my mind is the Harlem Children's Zone and Jeffrey Canada. And, you know, he's been out there a lot in various ways. But one of the things that I know in his school and other schools, Eileen, you're at a charter school now, too, and other high schools, is like if you really give the message that at a young age that college is something you can attain, I feel like that's very important. Eileen, you said that to me one day, too. It's like I want everyone to know they can go.
Right. Absolutely. Everyone can go to college. I mean, that's the thing that's wonderful about this country right now is that college is available, whether you start at a two-year or a four-year, whether you take a year off, whether you decide to go to a trade school. There's lots of, someone once said to me, there are many roads to the top of the mountain, but they all lead to the top. And I think that's really important, especially right now in this society where you really need more education after high school.
Well, and I wanted to just bring up something, Eileen, that you mentioned when we chatted, which was that students that go to junior college have the opportunity to transfer to a university, a four-year university with the correct credits, and there's a whole program that allows for smooth transfer.
Right.
So that's great. And Robbie, really thank you for calling and bringing that point up. I'm keeping my daughter in her Cal sweatshirt, so she's reminded constantly that it's important. Berkeley is important. Go Bears.
And also, Robbie, I know that you did some real training in the Greenfield also. So after you left, after you left school and high school, and you're out there working, there are a lot of options for people. So you are an inspiration. You continue to be. Thanks, Robbie.
Thank you, Robbie. We've got another
call. Thank you, everybody. Have a good day.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much. We've got another caller on the line. We've got Brian. Brian, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Hi, good.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
You have fans here, Brian.
I appreciate that.
Brian, can share with us a bit about how this topic touches you or what your experience has been.
Well, sure. So during high school, I found I didn't like the repetition of all the things, and I ended up taking the CHSPE and leaving midway through my junior year.
That's the proficiency test?
Yes, the California High School Proficiency Exam. Mm-hmm. It's a equivalency degree that is only valid in California. And so I left, and I was originally going to go to a community college for 2 years and transfer into a four-year, but I was fortunate. I got in touch with a woman who acted as my advisor who actually suggested that I go to a school directly focused on my interests.
Which was
Expression down in Emeryville. And I ended up going there for 3D animation and visual effects, and it was a 2.5-year program. And it was the most amazing experience I've ever had, educational-wise.
You know, that I just wanted to just jump in and say that's so cool, that the idea that you focus specifically on your interests. You didn't feel like you needed to go through the whole four-year liberal arts, let me take classes in a variety of things that I really have no interest in. But I want to hone in on this area and follow this path that's more of a career, immediate sort of career path. How do you think it was a good path for you, or you? What did you end up doing after that?
Well, I worked in various media and eventually got a job in 3D in L.A., actually at an awards-winning effects house for a year, which I then left because I'm now pursuing other interests that weren't addressed in school. But it gave me a good grounding to kind of go forth, and I had a skill set that I liked and I was interested in. I could get work doing things I was interested in, and now I can kind of explore what I missed from a four-year college on my own.
And would you ever consider then at this point, you think at another point you'd want to go back and actually go to college, or does it feel like, nah, don't need that anymore?
Well, I don't think I would probably attend a four-year school, but I plan on taking classes at community college just because there's still a lot I want to learn.
I think you've made such a great point about really following your interests and your heart and finding a school that can match that. Thank you so much for calling and sharing that story, Brian.
Definitely. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, thanks, Brian.
We've got another caller on the line. We have Laura from Palo Alto. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Beth. Good morning, Rona. How are you this morning?
Good.
Laura, tell us about your own story, your own situation with your kids.
Sure, yes. Well, I was listening to your show, and it really struck home. I do have a son who's been out of college for a few years now, but he actually did go out of state to a four-year university and thought it was absolutely the school of choice for him. We were all very fortunate and excited that he got into this school. But he realized very quickly by the end of his first semester that it really was not the right place for him, that it was too far away and that he was really not ready to be there. And so we encouraged him to go back, but early on in the second semester, he was really having a difficult time, not academically, but emotionally being away from home. Mm-hmm. So we actually let him withdraw, and he came home, at which point, which was very difficult for all of us, and that he had to make some choices about what to do, and there was not a it was not a question of whether to go on to school. It was really where to go at that point. So he ended up having to enroll in a community college to get enough the units at that point where he could then actually start the transfer process. So he did end up going to a local community college, had an unbelievable experience there, lived at home, and then was in the matriculation program and applied to some UCs where he got in everywhere he applied, and a couple of private schools, which he ended up doing, but everything very close to home here in Northern California. And I think the point is now that he had a successful, very successful academic career and graduated from a very prominent school in the Bay Area, and went on to be very successful in his professional life mm-hmm. now as well. And I think the reason I called in and the point I wanted to make was that we all live in these very affluent communities in the Bay Area, and there's a tremendous amount of pressure.
Not all of us do.
Right, exactly.
Some of us do. Sorry.
Right, not many. Many do. And, you know, there's a lot of pressure, I just want
yes,
to say.
Yes, that's right.
That comes from parents in
that's
the community.
That's right.
That you feel the pressure that your child really, to be successful, really needs to go off to a four-year university and go mm-hmm. to someplace very prestigious.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of the new movie Race to Nowhere. I mean, the yes. kind of pressure that yeah. students are under.
I was going to real quick have Eileen comment on what you've said, and Wes, if you want to weigh in too, just on Laura's story about her son realizing at college that it wasn't the right place for him.
Right. I mean, I just think that's a great story because that happens to a lot of students, and it's where all the different places where I've worked, there's been a bad rap about community college, that it's not really college. And as you have found out in your son experienced, it is really college, and it prepares students to go off to be a junior in a four-year college someplace. And I think that's a really important lesson. So thank you so much. That was very important.
The one thing that I like to add is that Ryan went to Mirmani, and I think there's 400 students there, and like two don't go on to college. That may be a bit of an exaggeration, but not by much. And when he put together his gap year program, which has turned into a really, really great thing, he was going around in the May June time frame when everybody was graduating and saying, "Man, I really feel sorry for these guys who are going to college because they're going to have to go right back into the same kind of pressure cooker that we just came out of, and I'm going to get to do all these neat things." And his friends actually agreed. Mm-hmm. And they said, "Wow, that is really neat." Mm-hmm. And so it was an interesting turn of events as to who felt was more excited about the next chapter.
You mm-hmm. know, and that's where I think the pressure is so important. Mm-hmm. What our caller is saying, too, is that's where you have to know your child, because for some kids, the structure of college is exactly right for them, and yet they may still find that they're not happy where they are. And then you have to wait it out a little bit and then see what is that unhappiness about, whether they should stay or not. But it's really about separating yourself out from this expectation and really following what your student needs. And that will change moment by moment also, mm-hmm. don't you think?
Yes, and not getting caught up in the race, you know, and seeing, and again, this is all about looking at who your child really is, mm-hmm. and what will work for them, and not having a preconceived agenda. I think that's really important. Laura, thank you so much. It's really important message to convey that you know, and really fits in with our story here today.
Well, thank you, Beth. Thanks for all the good information you're giving out to your audience too.
Thanks a lot.
All right, we have we've got another caller on the line. Do we have time, or do we need
Beth,
to go to break?
We are about to go to break
all
in
right,
about
we're
a minute,
go to, we're
so
gonna,
not quite yet.
All right.
We have a minute left.
Okay,
here.
Well, we're going to, you know, one of the things I wanted to bring back in was the story of, you know, how we know our kids not ready for college. I know when I get students coming in to my program and saying things like, "Well, a lot of the kids are going to such and such a school because I heard it's a great party school," you know, and that always makes me really nervous. I'm like, you know, is this kid going to school for the right reasons, or do they just not know what other options there are? And often, I found that these are kids that are very hands-on learners. They're mechanical. They're kinesthetic. They're experiential. They're in the world, and it's just what their peers are doing, but they don't know what else there is. So, working on options. We're going to go to a break, and we'll be back with your calls. 1-877-372-KIDS.
Matters.
Helpful advice, inspiration, and resources for parents.
Get involved. Call 1-877-372-KIDS.
We'd like to thank our friends at La Cocina Poblana for their generous donation to our upcoming event at El Rio. Savor the delicious creations from the kitchen in Oakland's beautiful Jack London Square. Nibble on a delicious crab enchilada or dive into a bowl of their sopa azteca. No matter the dish, La Cocina Poblana's tradition of serving fine Mexican cuisine is sure to have something for everyone in the family. Make sure you also check out their Emeryville location. For more information, visit cocinapoblana.com. That's cocinapoblana.com.
This is Nurse Rona letting you know that you can connect with Childhood Matters anytime on Facebook, Twitter, and iTunes. Now you can get the latest tips, resources, book recommendations, and share your thoughts with other parents and become part of our virtual community. As always, you can sign up for our podcasts and download past shows, community reports, and interviews. Visit childhoodmatters.org to learn more. That's childhoodmatters.org. And tell your friends.
Your public library is home to valuable and free local resources. Here are some tips to introduce children to the library. Visit often. Have the librarian recommend books specific to your child's interests. Get children involved by letting them choose books to read. Get a library card for your child and help them check out books. Ask about weekly story times and activities. Many offer free opportunities for young children to listen to storytellers and participate in art projects and singing. For more information on programs for young children, contact your local Bay Area First Five County Commission by visiting firstfivekids.org/bay. Brought to you by your local First Five.
Did you know that approximately 1 in 5 Bay Area 7th graders say they've used alcohol in the last month? By 9th grade, that number doubles to 40%. At kidsdata.org, you can learn more about issues that affect the health and well-being of children in the Bay Area. Kidsdata.org provides easy-to-access information and resources for those who influence kids' lives. You can find data by region, topic, or demographic, such as ethnicity or age. Visit kidsdata.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the Lucille Packard Foundation for Children's Health.
Join Nurse Rona, Dr. Marisol, and the team of Interactive Parenting Media as they celebrate their birthday at El Rio Salsa Club in San Francisco's beautiful Mission District. There will be live entertainment, refreshments provided by La Cocina Poblana, and more. This event is only open to individuals 21 and over. Sunday, November 7th from 1:30 to 5 p.m. Tickets are tax deductible, cost $20, and are available online or over the phone. For more information, call 510-663-5437 or visit childhoodmatters.org.
Visit the Exploratorium in San Francisco. Feel for secrets in the Tactile Dome or explore the Geometry Playground. For more information on these and many more exhibits, visit exploratorium.edu. That's exploratorium.edu.
My darling, be home soon. It's not just these few hours, but I've been waiting since I traveled for the great relief of having you to talk to.
We continue with Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by your local First Five.
Join in the conversation at 1-877-372-KIDS.
Here's more with Nurse Rona on Childhood Matters.
Hi, I'm Nurse Rona, and joining me is Beth Samuelson, the co-host of this series, the Your Teen Matters series. You can join us at 877-372-KIDS.
Tell us how you've helped your kids who weren't ready for four-year colleges navigate a different path. And we have an interview here with someone who did take a different path. And let's listen to it.
I spoke with Maya Lukoff. She participated in the Leap Now Gap Year program.
I think it was during my senior year of high school when I had the opportunity to kind of do some of my work independently, and I realized how much couldn't be packaged into the classroom. And I think that was the point where I started to look beyond the college framework that we usually think of to try and find an alternative way to still pursue a higher education. I think the majority of my friends were definitely looking to either continue at a small liberal arts school or a UC, or at the very least kind of a JC. I think at first I definitely felt some pressure because I think that's more or less what society expects from good students, to kind of follow that path. So it definitely took me some time to kind of come into it to myself and realize that, you know, this ultimately was the best decision for me. But I was lucky to have a lot of support from my parents in finding my own path. We went through a program called Leap Now, where for the first semester, it's a group travel through India with cultural immersion, where you're staying in host families while learning about both kind of the different religions in India. We were taking classes in Hindi and yoga, as well as kind of integrating it into how to travel with a group and learning about yourself abroad, but also study in a way that wasn't, you know, reduced to kind of papers and analytical thinking in the classroom, but was really more of a holistic education where I could kind of start to explore more interpersonal things that I felt like had been left out of the classroom. I definitely think that the fundamental difference between my education and kind of the more classroom-oriented education was a better foundation understanding kind of my own interpersonal relationship to studying. So I think it really forced me to embody my studies rather than just analytically explore my areas of interest. And I definitely think it was the single best decision I've made in my life.
For more information on Leap Now, visit leapnow.org. For Childhood Matters, I'm Zan West.
And joining us now on the line is actually Sam Bull, the director of Leap Now. Sam, are you there?
I'm here. Good morning.
Hi, Sam. Did you hear that caller? That interview. Sorry. You did. I'd love you to comment on that, and I think to weave in there a bit for us how you came to create Leap Now and who it's designed for.
Yes, we created Leap Now just because of what a limited way we frame education in this country. I think if you look at the developmental needs of a 17, 18, 19-year-old, someone who's making the transition to college, they're facing really the largest transition they're going to face in their life consciously. You know, there's birth and death. But we don't have a whole lot of choice about those. But, young people are coming right off of adolescence and the confusion of that. And simultaneously, they're looking at leaving home. Mm-hmm. They're, and coming out from under the roof of their parents. They're trying to choose a college, so they're making that high school to college transition, which has a lot of weight to it because they know that it has something to do with their livelihood. What am I going to do with my life? And then they're trying to navigate the transition into adulthood. And so developmentally, I don't think there's a greater transition. And as a culture, we've pretty much abdicated guidance for kids. We say to them, hey, you've been sitting in a classroom for 12 years in a box and having people come and talk at you, and you've been learning relatively passively. And the thing to do now is go and do that for another 4 years. And I think we leave the child out. We're so focused on you got to go to college that we don't look at, what is really developmentally necessary here. And we also focus our education on content rather than context.
Sam, I want to just jump in here. I think everything you're saying, you've spoken to the lack of transitions that we have for kids and sort of rituals for moving kids into this next phase of their life and how that's hard and the passivity of being in a classroom and that not all kids are fit for that. I wanted to let Eileen Abrams, our college counselor, reflect on what you've been saying.
Oh, I think that's really important what you're saying. I mean, I think that whole transition is really the American rite of passage. I think that's super, very important. And one question that I had, and just to say, I've known a number of students who've done gap years, and all of them have come away sounding like our callers have sounded in terms of the importance of that program. But one question I had is, some of these programs are pretty pricey, and I was wondering what kinds of scholarship or financial aid is available for students and families who can't afford it.
You know, I've been setting up gap year programs for people for the last 16 years, and my dad was actually the first gap year counselor in the country. He was doing it back to 1977, and so we've worked with people with all kinds of budgets. And I've set up gap years for kids where they've done better than break even, so that they have a net gain over the course of the year. And we've been able to set them up in jobs, and they've set up a gap year where they're doing a combination of both work and experience. The other thing we've done is we've really looked, and this weaves in why we started our leap year program, which is what Maya Lukoff had done. We really, in setting up gap years, we found that kids, they all came back and said, you know, I learned more in 2 weeks on my gap year than I learned in my last year of high school.
Yes.
I mean, that's universal.
You know, and I think
thought to myself, why isn't this form of education being valued by our culture?
Mm-hmm.
So we put together the leap year program to really give the best of a gap year, but put it in a college framework so that anybody who could afford college could afford to do our program. Because not only are you gaining a full year of college credit through our program, but you're also accessing federal financial aid.
I think that's a really important point, and I wanted to just let our parent here in the studio, Wes, whose son is doing a gap year, talk about real briefly, you know, how you fairly inexpensively put together a gap program for your son.
Yeah, it's been very inexpensive. I mean, learning Spanish in an immersion program is a fraction of the cost in South America as it is here. He got a job in New Zealand where he's going to be working, where they pay him, and room and board is covered. It really boils down to the fact that we're basically paying for transportation from spot to spot, and that's pretty much it. He's getting far, far more in education than what he's paying.
You know, I want to also talk Sam, I really appreciate your calling in and talking about LEAP, and I think the program does wonderful things, and I remember your dad very fondly, and he really was such an innovator, thinking about alternatives for kids that were not ready for college, and I'm glad you're carrying the torch. Thank you for calling in this morning. Where can people find you?
There's a tremendous amount of information about gap years on our website at LEAP Now. LEAPNOW.ORG.
Thank you, Sam. I'm really glad to hear about this. Maybe for my grandchildren. My kids are all grown, but who knows? Maybe for my grandkids.
Absolutely. And thanks. And Eileen, what are some resources that you recommend for parents that are looking for options, especially, you know, all ranges, even programs that are not costly, volunteer work? What can kids do that's hands-on that is not necessarily going to break the bank?
I think what's been mentioned so far, the programs that Wes's son has done, is good. Another new site is enrichmentalley.com. It's E-N-R-I-C-H-M-E-N-T, Alley, A-L-L-E-Y.com. Has a listing of a variety of different gap year programs. I think also there's a new program that I know provides a lot of scholarship to students called globalcitizenyear.org. globalcitizenyear.org. And then for community colleges, in terms of transferring to four-year colleges, is www.assist.org. And one other one for community colleges, which you can see all the variety, that's hundreds and hundreds of programs at community college, both for transfer as well as for career paths, is cccco.edu. That's 4 C's, cccco.edu.
Well, that's great. Beth, you might want to put these up on your website.
I'm going to put them on our website, which is SOS4students.com. It's SOS4students.com. That's my group, Student Organizational Services.
You know, Wes, a final word as we're just about out of time. You have something for parents?
Yeah, I would suggest that, and it's been brought up here before, that we not reflexively as parents assume that a four-year degree is the exact path that our students should take, even though it's the predominant expectation, okay? And that they will come back, as I'm already seeing in just a short period of time, with a lot more enthusiasm for going to college than they may have had before they left.
Thank you so much. I'd like to thank our guests, Eileen Abrams and Wes Riggins, for joining us to talk about this topic today. And there are lots of options for kids besides four-year colleges. We're grateful to our guests and our team, senior producer Zan West, producer Felsha Zuschlag, and Lorenzo Pozzola at the controls.
And thank you to Beth Samuelson for making this teen series a reality. My best teachers, thank you, Pei, Mara, Matt, and Karina. Childhood matters, and so do you.
You've been listening to Childhood Matters.
Produced by Collins Media Services and presented by the nonprofit Interactive Parenting Media.
We are the family.
Join us again for Childhood Matters. Find out more at childhoodmatters.org.